The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. The Committee Legislative Assistant will take the roll.
Chair Winkler.
Present.
Representative Egbaje.
Present.
Representative Barr.
Present.
Representative Doubt.
Present.
Representative Haley.
Present.
Representative Herr.
Present.
Representative Jordan.
Present.
Representative Lilly.
Present.
Representative Long.
Present.
Representative Moran.
Present.
Representative Nash. Representative New Brindley.
Present.
Representative Olson.
Present.
Representative Pulowski.
Pulowski present.
Representative Pryor. Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, present.
We have a total of 14.
Thank you, Ms. Fang. The first order of business is approval of the minutes for February 25th, 2021. I wonder if Representative Egbaje has had an opportunity to review those and has a motion.
Yes, I'm so moved.
Any discussion to the minutes of February 25th? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. The motion prevails, and the minutes are approved for February 25th, 2021. The next motion in front of us is relates to House Resolution 2021-R12C. What I'd like to do is actually not put the resolution in front of us. We've received, I think, three amendments from the GOP side. Representative Haley and Dowd have submitted amendments. Ms. Knight from HR is not here at this meeting. And I think we need a little bit of further discussion about a couple of the provisions in the resolution. So what I'd like to propose that we do is have Mr. McCormick present the resolution and the policy, have Representatives Dowd and Haley talk about their amendments and their concerns, and then work over the next 2 days to come up with a final version of the resolution and use our normally scheduled Thursday hearing time to adopt the policy. And so that is how I want to proceed today. And I'm going to ask then Mr. McCormick to describe the resolution and, of course, to identify himself for the record to begin with.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Patrick McCormick. I'm Director of House Research. I'm also filling in a little bit today for Kelly Knight, who can't be at this hearing. House, we're discussing a new House Policy 2021-R12C. Earlier this year, we adopted the P5H policy, which established a mask requirement. And in that policy, we had two stated potential enforcement provisions for staff. Repeated violations could result in termination, and for members, violations could result in an ethics complaint. What you have before you now is proposed for adoption, a series of lesser enforcement penalties that are laid out in, starting on line 10 on page 1. In that paragraph, members or employees who violate a policy a first or second time will receive a letter notifying the person of the violation and asking for compliance. For members, the letter comes from the Speaker of the House, and for staff, the letter comes from the head of the personnel department. On line 15, the policy proposes that a member or employee who violates the policy for a third or subsequent time will have $250 deducted from their next subsequent pay. On line 17, it is restated that members could be subject to an ethics violation if two members of the House so determine. And employees may be subject to further disciplinary action up to and including termination. And then on line 19 is the standard non-retaliation provision, which we put in provisions like this. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. So just by way of, I think, general context, we have had a mask policy in place this session. I would say that for the most part, on the floor, in public spaces, in general, we've had pretty strong cooperation, but far from universal cooperation with the policy. So the concept of having some teeth for violations, I think, remains important. I know that we all want COVID-19 to be over. We want to return to regular business, regular lives again, but we still have to maintain health within the House of Representatives. So what I'd like to do is ask Representative Dowd to address concerns, and then I'll go to Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I agree with the statement. I think we all wish COVID was over. And the really great news is that the vaccine is taking effect faster than I think they even thought it was going to. We have 70% of our seniors now over age 65 vaccinated. I heard an estimate early on that if we vaccinated 70% of the people over age 65, that would impact 90% of the hospitalizations and deaths in the state of Minnesota. We're already moving. The governor's announced today we're moving into the next groups of people eligible for the vaccine. The president has announced that everybody in the month of May in the entire country who's an adult will have access to the vaccine. This thing is going to be in our rearview mirror faster than we can even imagine. Our numbers in the state have crashed as far as hospitalizations, as far as ICU usage. Other states, I'm talking about radical conservative bastions like Connecticut are opening up. We've been under 12 months of emergency powers in this state. And instead of talking about how do we get our businesses back open and how do we get back to normal life, we're talking about how do we fine our employees. I will have to say, and I have the utmost of respect for our nonpartisan staff, this policy is one of the worst ideas I have ever seen. Taking money out of somebody's paycheck for something that I have seen no documented evidence that we've even gotten past one warning. We have three people in my caucus who have been warned one time, two staff and one member. And by the way, the member was not seen in person. They were seen on a video like this, not wearing the mask in their office. Well, it was assumed that somebody else was in their office. So just what I want to be very cautious of is that we're about to approach something that is, turning us all into the police of Zoom meetings and of the Capitol. I don't have a person in my caucus of 59 members, and I don't know how many staff we have, 50 some staff, so over 100 people. And I don't have a single person that's been warned a second time since this thing's been in effect. So this one would take to a third time to get to a deduction from a paycheck. You can't deduct money from a member's paycheck. That's unconstitutional. So we're going to deduct money from a staff paycheck, which is we're sending the wrong message to the public, to the staff, to our businesses. I think Minnesotans are going to wonder why we've been under 12 months of emergency powers. And we have not, this rules committee has not passed one resolution related to the emergency powers and how we can have our role in making sure that Minnesota, I want to just walk you through something that I did. On February 19th, on a call with the governor, we do a weekly leaders call with the governor. On February 19th, I on a call with the governor, I asked him for education statistics on, and this was right after he announced that we were going to have all schools open by March 8th, which by the way, we didn't. But on February 19th, I asked him for specific information. I said, I'd like to know what percentage of kids in each grade are in school 1 day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, and 5 days a week. They already had the data. The person, the assistant commissioner who was on the phone on that Zoom call said, yep, we've got that data. The governor instructed them to create a dashboard on that phone call to provide that data publicly. He said, yes, it makes absolute sense that we should have that information. We need to know how many kids are in school and what percentage. I think that's very fair. He instructed them to do it. The person from Minnesota Department of Education said that they would have it done early the next week. Okay. It was promised on the 22nd that it would be done. We asked again on the 24th, nothing. I asked last week, they said, and actually the governor on the phone call said, oh, you haven't seen that yet? He said, I saw that information. I saw it just yesterday. So we've got it. Yep. Can we get that to Representative Doubt today? This was last Friday. They said, yep, we'll have it to you today. I got an email at the end of the day saying, we'll have it for you Monday. Today is Tuesday. I still haven't seen it. You know what? I'm not going to see it. The administration doesn't give us information, this is very relevant. This is very relevant.
I'm giving you a lot of leeway to build a base, but I hope we are coming to the point soon with respect to the motion, not the motion, but the policy that's in front of us.
We will, and I'll move to my amendments here in just 30 seconds. But my point is, the administration's not giving us information about what we need to actually play our role as an elected body, as a co-equal branch of government, to respond to the pandemic. I'm asking for basic stuff that he is instructing his commissioners to give to us, and we're still not getting it. But we're not passing resolutions today saying, hey, we want the information we've asked for. Or we're not passing things off the House floor saying, hey, we want to play a co-equal branch of government role in this pandemic response. We're fining our staff when other states like Connecticut are opening up. This is the most misguided thing I've ever seen, and is sending the wrong message at the wrong time. So my amendments do a few things. Number A2 would remove the fines. You want to send letters, send letters. That's fantastic. I don't have any problem with that. We have complied. I don't like the mask mandate any more than anybody in the state does, probably. We all wish we could not wear them. I don't want to wear them. Our staff doesn't want to wear them. But the reality is, fining our staff, I don't even know if that's legal. I suppose we'll get a response from Pat McCormick, if that's even legal. It certainly sends the wrong message. My questions are a lot. Number one, A2 removes the fines. My Second Amendment, A4, removes the ethics complaint for members and the disciplinary action for staff. I have not seen evidence. I only see the evidence for my caucus. And I just explained to you that we've had three people talked to about being seen without a mask on state property. Two of them were on February 8th. One of them was on February 5th. Okay. I don't know beyond that if there's some flagrant violation that I don't know about. So those are my two amendments. I'd be happy to answer questions or talk about those. These are the questions I have. Okay. Where did this come from? Whose idea was this? Is there some extensive underlying problem that I'm not aware of? Why is this being brought forward? How many violations have we had? How many people are up to three warnings and have not responded? So I'd like to know that stuff. You have another little problem that's unanswered in this resolution, which is, where does the money go? If you're going to fine employees $250, who gets the money? That's not defined in here. What are you going to do with the money? Then I'd like to know how many cases of COVID, we do tracing, how many cases of COVID have been traced to interactions in the state office building or in the Capitol by House members or staff in a work environment? Our state office building is closed. It's closed to the public. It's closed to our staff. People who can work from home are still required to work from home. Yes, members are in their offices on occasion. I'm in there two days a week usually. But I follow the mask mandate unless I'm in my office by myself, right? So what is the problem? Quantify for me what the problem is. And I don't know who wants to tackle these questions, but I think they do need answers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Representative Doubt, first of all, the question as to who developed the concept of the policy, that is something that came through nonpartisan staff in coordination with House leadership. And the concern is not whether a lot of people right now have had multiple violations. The concern is that as we move through session and people begin to feel a greater freedom, that we are going to be making the mistake of opening up and getting too sloppy too quickly, and that we will have no mechanism in place to provide any kind of disciplinary response. So to your point, I think that we can have further discussion about the fine. I do think that there has to be some ethical component of the policy since we've already adopted one. So I'm open to addressing or changing or eliminating the fine component. I do think we need an ethical component to it, an ethics violation component, because at some level, if cooperative members who are willing to follow the simple, I mean, it's not that hard to wear a mask. It's really not that big a deal. So members who are willing to do that should be protected from the people who are not willing to do it. And certainly our staff, who have no choice but to do the work for us, should not be subject, their health should not be subject to risks taken by members of the House without any kind of disciplinary consequence to that. There has to be some ability to address it. So that's the goal. I don't think we're going to get into your desire for numbers on a rules committee public hearing, but I'm if you know to the extent that information is available, I'm sure you can get it from the House Human Resources Department. And I'm willing to work with you, but I don't want to turn this into an omnibus discussion of COVID-19 response in Minnesota. We're talking about a mechanism in House policy to address people who will not comply with rules. We don't have a major problem with it yet, but we should have something in place to prepare ourselves when that happens. Representative Dowd.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for going off about the thing with the governor. It's a frustration. And I think I agree with you. You know, I wear my mask. I don't like it, but I do it because, and I don't do it for myself. I do it because it's a respectful thing for other people. That's what I choose to do. But, you know, I just feel like we're sending the wrong message to our staff. So I really do think it's appropriate that we talk about whether it's legal to fine our staff or not, whether it's legal to deduct money from a member's paycheck. I don't think that's constitutional. So, you know, there are some problems with the resolution. Also, where does the money go? I think, you know, that creates a problem here. So those things I think are an issue. But yeah, I apologize about talking about the thing with the governor, but it is a frustration. And I think, you know, you all are going to be viewed as, people wondering, you know, and I don't care. I'll wear a mask. What I want is I want kids in school and I want businesses open. That's what I care about. I'll be happy to wear a mask. I don't care about that. But I want businesses open and I want kids in school. And I think everybody kind of wants that as soon as we can do all of that safely. That time has come. The data is pretty significant. Other states are opening. I don't want this to get off on a conversation about that either. And I'm trying to apologize for taking it off course, but, I just think this is sending the wrong message at the wrong time. And short of, you know, repeated flagrant violations, you know, I've got 100 people, 3 of them have been warned once. Nobody's been warned a second time. And this thing's been in place now for 3 months. 2 full months. We're in the third month right now, but 2 full months. So those are pretty low numbers. I don't know if another caucus is experiencing something greater than that, but my caucus has not had issues. So generally, we don't support this idea because we think it sends the wrong message to our staff.
Thank you, Representative Dowd. Thank you for your cooperation. Representative Haley, I said I would go to you next, and I will. And I see that Representative Barr is seeking recognition, but we'll start with you, Representative Haley.
Chair Winkler, I'm sorry, for some reason it's difficult for me to hear you this morning. So did you want me to briefly describe the A1 amendment?
If you could, yes. I saw the okay. Amendment. I thought we should have that discussion with you.
Sure. I can be brief. Basically, that amendment just puts a sunset onto your resolution, the sunset being the end of session. That being said, I am not in support of the resolution at all for the reasons that Leader Dowd has already discussed. But at a minimum, if we're going to proceed with this, it should have a sunset that aligns with session.
Thank you, Representative Haley. I am open to a sunset. I probably would align it based on our remote hearing rule because it's the end of next session that we put whatever the sunset we put in place already for Rule 10.01. I'm open to addressing that with this policy as well. Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dowd voiced a lot of my concerns already with the what authority for confiscation of pay from members, where does the money go, what fund it'll be transferred back to. I did want to chime in with the how many warnings our caucus has received. It's one verbal warning since the in the 2 months plus that this policy has been in place is one verbal warning. So I don't see us as being a major problem in this either. There was something that I would like addressed if we're going to continue to work on this. CDC guidelines are ever changing, and this is something I've heard you talk about multiple times on the floor, that we should stay in accordance with CDC guidelines. Yesterday, the CDC has started issuing new guidelines of people who have been vaccinated, where they can and can't wear a mask. These will be ever changing, and I would like to see something in this resolution that says we will stay in accordance with CDC guidelines. So if they open up, we won't have to come back a week later, 2 weeks later, and readdress this. We, as CDC says we can open up, then we should have that automatically in there.
Thank you, Representative Barr. I think that also is a fair approach to addressing this issue. I also want to say that there are many, many instances of violations of the mask policy that people have observed just because they haven't gone through the disciplinary process yet, in part because people haven't been clear what that discipline consists of. And what the process is. But there are many violations that have been observed, certainly in the state office building. And so I don't want to create the false impression that somehow everybody's masked up in accordance with the policy at all times in the SOB. That is not the case. I don't have numbers as to who's been admonished or warned or who hasn't, but you know, it's not uncommon to see members and staff not wearing masks in the state office building. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Leader Winkler. And I appreciate your willingness to work on this and have the discussion. I'm a little concerned, however, you said that we're not going to talk about numbers. It feels very relevant to the conversation. Representative Dowd asked about cases that have been traced back to the state office building. It feels very relevant, especially in the sense that it feels like a very odd time for this resolution to come forward. To my knowledge, and maybe I'm wrong, but I suspect we would have been notified had cases been traced to our working environment. And we haven't heard about that. And so that does feel very relevant to the conversation. And it seems like it does make sense for us to dig into those numbers and have that data available to us, particularly when we're at a time when people are being vaccinated, our case rate is down well below 5% again, hospitalizations have taken a complete nosedive, deaths have dived, and in fact, there have been several days where we've had almost no deaths, but we've had just one. The timing of this just seems very odd, not to mention the other questions that came up about, you know, where the authority comes for taking the $250, where that money is going to go. I appreciate your willingness to have conversation about those things, but I do hope that we will dig into the numbers and at least have the data available to us to understand what the scope of the problem really is in the House, because I hope that we're addressing this truly in regards to the pandemic and what those numbers mean and the transmission of the virus. I hope that's what we're getting at, and that we are not using this as a tool to punish people for not wearing a mask, but to actually use it as a tool to make sure that that our members and staff are safe.
Representative New Brindley, the point of a mask mandate and an HR policy like we have in place is to protect against having an outbreak in the state office building. It isn't to react to one if we've had it. So we have a policy in place. This is the discipline that follows on a policy. It doesn't, for practical purposes, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. We have a policy requiring mask use, and if we get to the point where we have an outbreak, it will have been too late to put in place a mask mandate. So the numbers really are not relevant to this discussion. I do think it is maybe of interest to find out if we have an outbreak and how dangerous the House of Representatives has been. I would say we have a much better track record of not only compliance with public health guidelines, but maintaining safety of members and staff than our colleagues in the Senate have. And I think the cautious approach that we've taken has paid off. So the point is, success will not be revealed in bad numbers. Success will be revealed in following public health guidelines that results in no numbers showing an outbreak in the House of Representatives. So I'm going to go to Representative Olson, and then we'll wrap it up. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real quick question. Is this going to be enforceable based off of Zoom cameras, whether you're at your house talking with other people without a mask on? Because I can tell when someone is the only person seen on a screen, but there are other individuals in the room. Can I take a video of the Snapchat of it and send it off as a complaint as well? Will we be able to do that? Because that's a concern I have.
Representative Olson, we will be in the HR department of the House will be enforcing this consistent with HR practices of investigation and evidence. So this isn't some opportunity to just grab a screenshot, throw it in, and then find out that the person that you didn't like has been nailed or something like that. This is going to be handled by professionals in the House who do this kind of investigation and follow up all the time. Representative Haley, I'm going to go. I'll recognize you, and then that's the last person, and we will adjourn. Representative Haley.
I had a question on another issue if you want to wrap this one up, but I just wanted to get my hand up before we closed.
Representative Haley, we are wrapped on that issue. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, hold on just 1 second, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dowd.
Could you just give us again, what is your thought for when this will come back up? I did try to connect with Kelly Knight last night about this, and apparently she's out of town. We did play phone tag, but I haven't been able to contact her yet. Is this a tomorrow thing or a day after tomorrow thing?
Yeah, Representative Dowd, we have a normally scheduled Rules Committee hearing on Thursday at 10:10 in the morning, or whenever that is. Is that Wednesday? I think it's Thursday. And we will do it then. It's Thursday.
Okay, day after tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And my intention is to bring forward an amendment, pass the resolution, and move on at that point.
Thank you.
Representative Nash is in the meeting. I know he wanted to be recognized for the record. Representative Nash, is that on this issue?
That was all.
Okay. Representative Haley, moving on to new business.
Thank you, Chair Winkler. Can you clarify, you mentioned last night on the House floor about the where you would be routing bills that are coming from the Legislative Process Reform Committee. And I think that Rules currently has Representative Sandsteed's bill in the possession. Do you intend on moving that bill to the floor, or that will that be going to another committee? And can you give us some indication of timing on that?
Representative Haley, the goal or the intention is to send it to other committees with relevant jurisdiction. I don't have timing for you at this point. I know that it passed out of the subcommittee on Friday, and I wonder if Mr. Blauvelt, the committee administrator, could tell us where we stand with it now. I think we basically have an option of moving it by motion on the floor or by having a hearing and sending it as a committee report out of rules. I actually think it probably makes more sense to just move it on the floor. Since this committee doesn't really have relevant expertise on public health. Mr. Blauvelt, could you explain or clarify the timing of a potential floor motion?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, we memoed out of the subcommittee today, and so it will be available for a motion this afternoon. We were sorting out what committee could expedite a hearing as quickly as possible so that we could keep that moving. So we hope to have an update for you later this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Blauvelt. Representative Haley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Members, seeing no further business before us and no further discussion, we are adjourned.